Good to have everyone here. We appreciate you for being here this morning. We're excited about the Lord and His goodness. We are moving right along in the series we've been in the Galatians series. I'll say it again just to reiterate what we've been talking about. This is one of the most important teaching that I've done in 30 years. And I've done a lot of them. But this one is critical to our understanding of Scripture, to understand where the Lord would have us to focus on, to look at. Dealing in Galatians, we've been doing the intro. We finished it last night, and we're going to start Galatians 1 today. So we'll be in the book of Galatians, chapter number 1, verse number 1. And it's going to seem like we're moving on pretty fast. I can assure you it will slow down, but I'm going to get through that first chapter pretty quick, hopefully, today, and move on to second chapter to kind of get us where we want to be. We're going to have a resting time coming up because our Passover service is coming. If you've never been to a Passover service, you'd want to be in these services. They're very important. They've been announced. The Passover services are critical if you've never been in one. And so we're going to have a wonderful time in the Lord. And I'll be teaching on the Passover in those services and the services to follow that our first start on the Passover. We'll teach on the Passover as much as we possibly can. But today we want to stay on track on what we've been dealing with in the book of Galatians. And there was some controversy dealing with whether or not one had to be circumcised in order to be saved. That was the whole thing in question. But when we look at it today, starting in Galatians chapter number 1, and look at this careful. Now we'll go verse by verse, covering as much as we can in each particular verse. But this beginning chapter, this is his salutation or what have you, whatever you would want to call it, his introduction, his letter to the Galatians. Let's look at it together. Now, before I start reading this first verse, last night I covered a lot of things as part of this series. If you didn't get to hear it, get the CD in the back. They just make a copy for you. It's free. Go ahead and get it and listen to it. I can tell you, it's hard to just get parts of this and understand. So I'm going to do best I can to, and the Spirit of the Lord always has something said, no matter what our setting is, to encourage us and to help us and to strengthen us and to ignite us, to get us going so we serve the Lord with everything that's in us. And I'm sure that'll be what He wants. Of course, I yield to the Lord every single time. Even though I prepared this service and I prepared to do these scripture, I always say to the Lord, Lord, I want to do whatever you want. It doesn't matter how much preparation you did. I'm here to whatever you want. What's your word for today? And so I open myself up to that all the time because God knows what needs to be said better than I do. I'm just going to follow along, write what the Lord has given me, and we'll let the Lord minister throughout this service. It's a very important time for the believer. It's an important time for the non-believer to come into the faith, to understand that. Well, this is what's been happening. There were non-believers. They didn't know the Lord. They were Gentiles. And the Word of God went to them for the first time. Well, it went to the Jews first and now to the Gentiles. Well, they, being Gentiles, they came from a lot of different belief systems. And let me just state this so we're clear on the record. That's what we are. We're Gentiles. Unless you're Jewish here, I don't know of any. That maybe you have some Jewish descent. I'm sure if we trace it all back, we all got a little bit in us. But we're mainly part of the 10 tribes that basically blended in to the rest of the world. The 10 tribes that blended in. He calls it the Goyim, or the nations. You'll blend into the nations. And then we hear the gospel, the good news. This is what Galatians is about, the gospel and the good news. And we come out from that to serve the true and living God. That's important. So in verse number 1 of Galatians, chapter number 1, it says, Paul, an apostle. Now notice I highlighted something here. It says, not of men, neither by man. Notice that. So he's right off the front, he's saying, listen, I didn't call myself. I'm not making any self-proclamations here. He said, I'm just letting you know, I'm the apostle, not of men. Nobody, no man selected me. Neither by man. In other words, I didn't get my authority by man. But he says, and he finishes up, but by Yeshua Messiah. Well, when did this event happen? Well, Paul, his name was Saul then, on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. He was not, even though he was in the church, yep, it's a strange thing. It's amazing, but it still happens today. It's a strange thing. He's in the church, part of the church, but not the New Testament church, which some would say today. They would call that the New Testament. Back then it was called the Way. They're part of that, a difference, meaning they are followers of Christ, because he said, I am the Way, the truth and the life. Well, Paul, then his name Saul, he was part of the Pharisees. He was a part of that sect, the Sanhedrin council. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. That's how he described himself. He said he was a zealot he was in it. If you wanted to find somebody who was locked in and faithful to what he believed, Paul was it. Well, he's on his way to Damascus with the credentials, letters in hand, documents in hand, given by the council of that day, the Supreme Court of that day, which was run by the Sanhedrin. And he was going, basically, to persecute Christians, meaning the ones that were coming into the faith, the new thing that was happening. He was going to persecute them. And so what we find is why he's on his way. He's on his way. All of a sudden, a light shines. So bright that it knocks him down. There's no getting around it. And a voice says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Got his attention. So he's making a reference to that. He said, I'm an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Yeshua Messiah. That's what he's making that reference. So that's why he says this here. He's making sure they understand that his calling was by Messiah himself. He said, how long, he told Saul, he said, how long will you kick against the prick? The prick means that which is sharp. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you kick a nail, right, you'll know it. You don't, if you don't believe that, you go home, drive a nail through a board. Mm-hmm. There's a big old long nail, and just rear back and say, I'm going to check out what Pastor said to see if he's telling the truth. And just haul off and kick it. You'll call me soon after. You're right. So this is what Messiah says to Saul. Don't you know? How long will you kick against the prick? What you're doing is not going to help you. You're in trouble. You're headed in the wrong direction. I got my hand on your life. What does he say? What does Saul say? Lord, what do you want me to do? He yields right there. So he talks about this story. We're going to notice what happens. He said, neither by Yeshua Messiah. He said, neither by man, but by Yeshua Messiah and Yahweh the Father. Notice he gives clarification that he's called by Yeshua Messiah and Yahweh the Father. He's signifying their unity here. In John 6, he said, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. They're not the same person, but they're in unity. They're one in purpose, not one in the same. They agree on everything. There's not one thing that they disagree on. That's pretty difficult to have. Not one thing. How many of you know it's hard to get two people in any room, in any setting, that won't disagree about something? Right? I don't know if it's possible, is it? I pull two of you out of the crowd, and we'll go over a list of things, and you without your knowledge, do you think, what's the chance you think you'll agree on everything? Yet the Father and His Son agrees on everything. Isn't that amazing? Everything they agreed on. It's very important. Who raised Him from the dead, speaking of the Father here. Verse number 2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the assembly of Galatia. Now, we've been dealing with Galatia and all the parts that we went over. There's been how many parts so far? Six parts? All right, so there's a lot of stuff we said in six parts. So you can get those. They'll give them to you so you can catch up. He said, and from, notice that, grace be to you and peace from Yahweh the Father and from our Master Yeshua. He says it again. So anytime you see something twice, what does that mean? What is he trying to do? Emphasize it. He's trying to emphasize it. Let's not forget. And he's trying to let you know what he stands on. What's his stand? Very important that we understand that. Now, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now that's his introduction. And now he's going to get into why he's writing this letter. He gets into it right away. Well, let's go at it and see. Verse number 6, he says this. Someone grab me some water. He says, I marvel. Now, I want you to get this. You got one, Brother Eddie? He got one. Thank you, brother. He said, I marvel. Now, I want you to understand, if Paul's marveling, it must be serious. Let me say it again. If Paul's marveling, it must be serious. This guy, seeing a light from heaven, knocked him off of his animal on the ground, and it talked to him. I don't know what makes somebody marvel if you had that experience. But he says, I marvel. So this is serious. When you see that word, means this is serious. Because if you can make Paul marvel, you done got yourself into something that we need to pay close attention to. How many understand that? Well, let's see what he's marveling about. He said, that you are soon removed. And one translation says that you've turned. That you've turned. That you are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Messiah unto another good news or another gospel. You're soon removed. Now, this is the letter to Galatians. How could they be removed from something that never happened yet? Hence, Acts reading of the first epistle to Galatia. Let me see that. This is clear stuff. So you see that he says that you're soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Messiah unto another good news, another gospel. Then he says in verse 7, which is not another. Here's where the danger comes in. Which is not another. Okay, is it another or it's not another? How many of you see Paul's got a way of writing? So he says, you're soon removed from that which, from him that called you into the grace of Messiah unto another gospel, another good news. Which is not another. That's puzzling right there. It's another, but it's not another. Who wants to know what that means? It's another, but not another. Let me tell you what it means. He's saying they still preach Christ, It's not that they are leaving Christ. This is the danger. This is why the subtle way the enemy works. He said they preach another gospel, which is not another. Meaning, they still preach in Christ, but they're preaching Christ with some added things. Uh-oh. What are they adding? You must be circumcised in order to be saved. So they're not preaching somebody different. That's why he says it's another good news, because I didn't tell you that. What I told you, that was not the case. But someone came behind me and told you it is the case. So that's why he says, which is not another. Because it's still Christ being preached. Let me tell you, Christ could still be preached. It could be the main basis of our preaching. But it doesn't mean it's acceptable unto God. And you might say, well, man, why is this so hard? Why has it got to be so hard? Well, I can tell you, God didn't make it hard. Anytime man gets a hold of anything, we'll get it to where, you know, this is what we wanted to say. Why don't we just let the Word say what the Word says? And that's why he says, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you. There be some that trouble you and would, watch this, pervert the good news of Messiah. He calls it a perversion. Just that adding that one thing in, you must be circumcised in order to be saved. Paul says that's a perversion of the truth. My question is, how many perversions are there? And do we even care about them? Well, over a long period of time, if this is just happening, I wonder how many perversions are in the text now. What have we done in our life and we didn't even know about it? We just said it because somebody else said it. I know I've done that. And for that, I've repented before you and many other people. Because it's not right. Just because I do it, you think it makes it right? Just because a man could think don't make it right. That's not what settles the issue. What settles the issue is what thus said the Word of God. And it's important that we go back and look at it for ourselves. So notice that this is an issue here that's so subtle it can trick the smartest of the smart. We're being tricked by this. Because they were still preaching Christ crucified, we must follow Christ, all of those things. But they said, but you also have to do this. You cannot add in order to be saved. And Paul said that is not the case. And nobody was more zealous for the law than Paul was. He was zealous for the law. He could have easily fell into that trap because he's a Pharisee of Pharisees. He himself obeyed all of these commands. He was doing this. But he said, no way. That's not the case. That's not what Christ did. And so he brings it to light. Now notice that in Acts 15:24, which we've covered already, I want to do this as a reminder. It says, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. This is the same statement that we find in Galatians when we read in chapter 1. Troubled you with words. Subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commands. He said, we give no commandments to them. None of you. We didn't tell you this. So it's important to understand. So what we're going to be dealing with in this Galatian series, again, through the whole thing, circumcision, this is what they're saying, circumcision is necessary for salvation. And Paul says that's not the case. Well, we can't just say that unless the Word sheds that light to us. We got to see it in the Scripture. So we want to make sure that that happens. Verse number 8. But though we, this is Paul, says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other good news, any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now that word accursed there is a very strong word to be used by Paul. It literally means let him be put to death. It's not just like a spell put on him, that he does not exist. That's the word. It's a very strong word. He says, if anyone preaches something other than we deliver to you, he said, even an angel from heaven. Think about that. Well, that's a lot of authority speaking about his words. Because remember what he said at first. He said, I didn't proclaim this myself. He said, man didn't tell me to say this. We have another similar situation of that experience when Yeshua was there with his disciples and he asked this question. He said, who do men say that I am? And they're all looking at each other and trying to figure this out. And then someone speaks up and so, but some say you're Elijah, one of the prophets. You know, they got all these answers. So he said, well, no, I understand that with people are saying, but who do you say I am? And Peter speaks up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Yeshua says, what does he say? He said, flesh and blood didn't give that to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, lets you know that. This is a similar situation in Paul. Paul said, I'm not saying this on my own. I'm speaking the truth of the Word of God. Now, we're going to see how does that happen. We back it up with the entirety of Scripture. That's how it's proved. So watch what he says. Let him be accursed. Now, Deuteronomy 17, 19 through 13, we covered some of this. We're going to read through it again as we were doing the introduction. These are reminders of what we covered. And thou shalt come unto the priests and Levi and say unto the judges that there shall be in those days an inquiry, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. And thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place which Yahweh shall choose shall show thee, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee. The council set. James stands up. He gives the verdict. That is written. They're going now with the written documents. That's how the letter to Galatians is now. Paul's writing this based on that verdict. That verdict. And he's not, is he going against what Torah says? No, he's keeping within the frame. Verse 11, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee to the right hand or to the left. Excuse me. Verse number 12, and the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that stands to minister there before Yahweh thy Elohim or unto the judge, even that man shall. That's what he's making a reference to. So when I use the term, and I said, let him be accursed, that's not a spell. That word is making reference to this statement in Deuteronomy, that they're tying together. Remember, we can't just make a statement without seeing it in light of Scripture. We're going back. So how many see that? We study in Galatians in light of Torah. Remember that. So that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel, because he calls it evil. And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. Now, Judge, you can't just say, I'm going to do this way. I feel good about the way I'm doing it. That's not the way to serve God. Not the way at all. Remember what I said last night. Those who will fear him will depart from iniquity, will depart from those things. Because we have, what is that word fear? Not afraid. God doesn't want you to be afraid of him. He wants you to have a reverential fear. That's what that word means, reverence. You reverence him. Remember, how many has ever heard this statement? He carries a lot of weight. He carries a lot of weight. Maybe it's the boss of the company, the CEO of that company. You know, he walks in or something. And I've been around people who's making preparations for the owner to come. And I mean, people are scrambling all over the place. They're trying to get things. The owner's coming. It's a different thing when the owner's there. When the owner's not there, people talk differently, act differently, do things differently. But when the owner's going to be there, and you have a lot. So you're saying you're giving a lot of weight to that person because they have the power to get rid of you. Well, we don't hardly give a lot of weight to God anymore. God becomes like the other guy. And he has the power to get rid of you. He said, don't fear the one who can destroy the body. but fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in the grave. That's no coming back. I mean, understand that. He can destroy you forever. So we're not afraid of him. We give him respect. I respect him so much that if he requires me to worship, I worship. If he requires me to pray, I pray. If he requires of me, because it's not my life anymore, I give my life to him. That's what Paul did. He said, it's not I that live, but Christ that live in me. Very important to understand. Let's move right along in this because we want to just establish this first chapter is very important. In verse number 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other good news unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's twice. What does twice mean? Emphasis. He's drawing emphasis. This is serious business. Anytime you see it twice, he's drawing emphasis. Let him be accursed. Verse number 10. For do I now persuade men or Elohim? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Messiah. Got to make a choice, especially in ministry. You can please men or you can please Messiah. We got to make that decision, what we want to do in individual lives. Let me tell you about ministry. People see ministry as what I'm doing here. Ministry is you individually. You're independent. You're the independent minister of your home. Every father in here, you're an independent minister. You're ministering to your home. It's your deal. You got it. However it goes, it's going to be on you. Nobody else. And so the decision he had to make, and let me read it again. Do I now persuade men? Am I doing this for men or Elohim? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Messiah. Think about that. So ministry is in all different capacities. The father's in here. You're the ministers of your home. Whatever you go doing, allow doing, whatever, however you conduct yourself, you're ministering that out. That's what's going forth. You're ministering that out. You're administering. And when you do that, you get the results from whatever you draw. At some point, the line gets drawn underneath, and it equals something. I pray that whatever we're doing in life, it equals eternal life. Amen? That's the whole point of this. And so he's laying that out to plead this case so they'll understand it and grab hold to it. But watch this. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the good news which was preached of me is not after man. I certify to you that the good news, what I spoke to you, wasn't my idea. Wasn't what I thought. Wasn't after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Yeshua Messiah. Isn't that amazing? Now, we got to pay attention to this. Because Paul says, what I'm teaching you, I didn't get it from man. It came to me by revelation. Now, he's going to tell us how this whole event happened. You remember, we talked about the road to Damascus. Well, he's going to tell us about some more important points of that in Galatians. Verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversion. He's telling them, you've heard of my conversion in times past in the Jewish religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the assembly of Yahweh and wasted it. He didn't say I did it small. Yeah, I was in it a little bit. He said beyond measure. You couldn't even measure how much I was in it. He said I gave everything to it and more. You know how you give more to something? When you give all you can, and you don't stop there, but you encourage others to do what you're doing. And that's what he did. He was going out getting people to be just like him. So it was beyond him. And he instigated it. He was the one pressing on. Come, let's go get all of them. All the Christians. This is Paul. This is our beloved Paul we're talking about. He said, I hated Christians more than all of you. But something happened to me. I'm on my way. I got my mind made up. I'm going to do my thing my way. And all of a sudden, the light come on. And when the light came on and Saul's light, that was his name, he said, it's over with. Changed his life. He was known as Paul from then on. Think about that. So he's talking about this. He said, you heard of my conversion in times past, Jews' religion, how beyond measure I persecuted the assembly of Yahweh. Notice this. He's persecuting who? Assembly of Yahweh. He's not persecuting just anybody. He's talking about what he did. He said, I was against God. Against him. I wasted it. What he was doing means by wasting. Well, he was stopping. He was shutting down churches. He was taking women, children, and men, locking them up in prison. Our beloved Paul. That's the one we're talking about. He makes a radical shift. And verse 14 says, and prophets and profited the Jews, the Jewish religion, above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous than zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Notice that. He said, if you want to talk about somebody who's locked in tradition, I was it. If Yeshua said something and it went over the traditions of the Father, he said, I was against it. Kicking that nail. He said, I wasn't going to give in. I was strong. I've got my mind made up. I'm going to do it my way. Well, he's telling this story to the Galatians. You ever wonder, why is he starting out with this story? We're in chapter number one. He's wanting them to know that if anybody's life can change, yours can. Verse 15, he says, but when it pleased Elohim, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen immediately. I want to stop right there. How many see this? We don't get it a lot of times, but we don't come because we want to come. We come because we recognize we've been called by Elohim. If you think you decided to do this, we didn't decide this. When it pleased Elohim to call us, the only difference in what's happening in either my life or your life is you got to agree to it. You got to answer that call. The call gets made by Yahweh and Him alone. Nobody can go to the Father but by Christ. Nobody. And He said, no one come unless I draw him by my Spirit. So we get drawn by the Spirit of God. What happens next is all on us. You got to decide, like Paul decided, I got to quit doing what I'm doing. Kicking the nail is going to give me an aching foot. Right? You know, I was praying. I said, Lord, right before service, I said, God, you know, all I want is what you want. Now, I'm prepared. I prepared this service, this lesson here. This was prepared in the last week of January. I prepared this service the last week of January in Miami in a hotel. But just because I prepare it don't mean I'm going to say it next. I got to wait on God. But isn't that something? How amazing God is. That He'll say, well, today's the day. Because I said to the Lord, I don't have to do. I can go right to Passover. I do whatever you want. I can go in a bunch of different directions, whatever you want. If you want to start Passover, study today. I'll start that. Lord, if anything else you want to start, I'm fine with that. You just point me to the scripture. Because I'm not going to tell you what I think about it. I'm going to tell you what thus said the Lord by his Spirit reveals to me while I'm speaking in real time. But I'm up waiting, all the way to song service. I'm waiting. And then I said, Lord, you ain't said nothing yet. I'm taking that. I'm still going. And here we are. You know why? Because everything God needs said is right here in his scripture. You don't have to fear it. Look at this, what he's saying. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Notice what he says. I didn't go and confer with flesh and blood. What does that mean? He said, I didn't go ask anybody if what just happened to me, what was that? I accepted what happened. That's what Holy Spirit does. You individually, as he ministers to your life, it's not conferring with flesh and blood that qualifies you. Accepting what God did qualifies you. He said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I accepted what just happened to me. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he meant it. And that was it. The line got drawn. He quit persecuting Christians and he yielded to the Lord. You know what he felt like? A little baby. An invalid. Can't help himself. I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I didn't move until I was waiting for the next move. You say something next, that's what I'll do. And the Lord led him to a certain place. I want you to see this. Very important. Neither went I up to Jerusalem. What is he making reference there? That's where the council is. The new court is in session. They're combating. We got the old system, which Saul was a part of. Paul, he's a part of that old system. But now he got changed. Now he's got to, he said, I didn't go to the new system. Because I know that's the right one, but I didn't go there. I didn't go to Jerusalem, to them which were apostles before me. Not after me, they were apostles before me. These are the ones that's the Peter, the James, the John, the Matthew. That's those guys. He said, I didn't go there. To Jerusalem, to them which were apostles before. But I went to Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Went to Arabia and then returned to Damascus because that's where he was. He's on there. He's about to get into Damascus on the road, and there's Damascus. He says, I returned to Damascus. How many see that? And in verse 18, and after 3 years, wow. After 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter. These are little things that sometimes we read, it doesn't put the brakes on us at all. We just go through it. He waited 3 years before he went and seen Peter. Isn't that something? Now that's an important part there, but I'm going to just tell you this. I want you to think about this. God is concerned about us. Let me give it a practical application here. He's concerned about us. He's not out to hurt anybody. He wants the best for your life. But in life, one thing that we get to do, we can choose whatever we want. That's a lot of power. You don't realize how much power you have. You can choose whatever you want. God is not going to force you to serve him. When he, by Yeshua Messiah, put the light on, literal light, not just a clarity in thinking, but the literal light shined on Paul. He's on his way to Damascus, going to persecute the Christians, and that light come on, a bright light. He knocks him off of his animal. There he is. Even in that part, that's just a warning sign. That's just, hey, what you think is not real is real. He still could not force him to do anything. Nor will God force you. He won't force you, but he'll give you opportunity. Today's one of them days. It's kind of opportunity day. This is your light day. Knocking you off your animal day. What do you do? Do what Paul did. What you want me to do? I forget my mind is to go get the persecute the Christ, but I'm done with that. I'm done with that. I'm finished. What I want is what you want. And so what God did, he started leading his life immediately. Not a week later. You want him to lead your life? He'll do it immediately. So he's telling us immediately, I do nothing at all. And then when I'm told what to do, I take that step. I didn't go to Jerusalem. I went to Arabia. I didn't go visit Paul right away. I waited 3 years. Why? Because the Spirit said, you do what I tell you from here on out. And let me tell you, it changed that man's life. Made a difference in him. He could understand things. That's what God wants to do our life. Realize that we've been making all the decisions all our lives. And so whatever decisions we make, we get the results from those decisions. What about you and I today? What are we going to do about today? When the Lord gives us an opportunity to live for him, love him, serve him. Listen, today I had opportunities so many times in my life, but today's a new opportunity for me. You see, you might say, well, but you're the preacher. It doesn't make a difference what you are. Today is another opportunity for me. I can make a decision today whether I'm going to pursue and go deeper into the things of God, or I'm just going to stop. I'm going to stop and say, you know what? I'm so saved, I don't know what else. Man, if I was a dog and had two tails, I'd wag both of them. I'm so happy. I didn't even have that in my notes. I was thinking about that the other day, though. I was just thinking about the goodness of God, and I was by myself thinking about the goodness of God, and I said, Lord, if I was a dog and had two tails, I'd wag both of them right now, just so happy. Just want to shake both, just to let you know, God, I'm thankful that your hand's on my life. Now, his hand's on your life. Every person here, his hand's on your life. But you got to agree. You understand? You got to agree that way. If it never happens for you, don't blame God, because he's giving the light today. The light's coming on today. God wants you to know that I'm for you, not against you. So what does Paul say? What do you want me to do? And he said, I'll do it. And that's what he did. Never looked back. He didn't say, well, I know what I'm going to do now. I'm going straight to tell Peter that I'm saved. God kept him from that for 3 years. Testing him. You've really committed to me? You're going to do what I tell you. You're going to go, instead of going to Jerusalem, you're going to go to Arabia. You're going to do what I want you to do. God sent him to a place, sent him to Ananias. Remember, he prayed for him to scale, like, come off of his eyes because he'd blinded. The light was so bright, it blinded and had to be let out. That'll wake you up. I can tell you, the light of God's glory is coming on to people. It's coming on. We've been praying and we've been asking, Lord, you know what? And I said to you, whether you want to call it prophetic or not, I said, God, we're expecting you to do miracles in the lives of people. Miracles. No matter who they are, where they are, where they come from, miracles are happening in their life because they'll begin to see the truth of the gospel. So there he is, and after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I abode with him 15 days. 15 days he's with Peter. But others of the apostles saw I none, save James, the master's brother. Now the things which I wrote unto you, behold, before Elohim, I lie not. The things I wrote to you, I lie not. Now notice his words. This is still the Apostle Paul. Afterward, I came to the region of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the assemblies of Judea, which were in Messiah. It says, I was unknown to them in the latter part of that chapter. But they that heard only that he was persecuted, that he which persecuted us in times past, now preach the faith which was once destroyed, and they offered, and they glorified Elohim in me. Now notice that, and that's the end of the first chapter. But what did he do? He says, listen, what I did, they heard that I was the one. I was the persecutor. Then they hear I get saved. They understand that something changed in my life. And he says, now I preach the faith which I once destroyed. He didn't say, I'm going to come in and tweak it. You know, I'm going to change a few things because, I know I'm saved now, but the way I see it, he didn't do any of that. He said, what I once destroyed, I'm now preaching. He didn't come in with his traditions. And he said, I was one stuck on traditions. And that's something that we have to be careful in. So I want you to think about this. I want you to think about how important this was, a time in his life, as he's getting us ready to go into Galatians. Now, all of this is just Galatians is the basic introduction. He's not really teaching anything yet. He's just telling about who he is, where he come from, and all this. He's letting them know, some reminders. Now, this is not the first time they heard from him. Remember, we have his first missionary journey in Acts coming to them. Now, Galatians chapter number 2. Let's look at it. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Notice that. How long? 14 years. He goes up and takes Titus with him. In verse number 2, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that good news, good news which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. He said, I didn't want to do that. Now notice this. This is him unfolding this process of how he's about to explain or give in great detail why you don't need circumcision in order to be saved. Why? How is salvation? For by grace are you saved through faith. Every one of you here. Now, what does circumcision mean? Because some people think, well, you know, I got to do this and I got to do that. And we're trying to please the Father by means which that we can do. You can't please the Father by any means that you can do, other than saying, not my will, but your will be done. It's not a work you can do. It's not something that you can do. You can't please God that way. The way we come to the Lord is we repent. We recognize, Paul recognized, I can't believe I'm going to persecute Christ. I shouldn't be doing that. That's why he said, how long are you going to kick against the prick? It's inevitable you're injuring yourself. And you're not going to come out of this really good. You're destroying yourself. So what does he do? He quits doing that. That's a sure sign of repentance. Repentance is not a lot of words. People might think, well, man, if I got to get this great prayer, and maybe I got to go and just pray for several hours. Let me just tell you this. I've seen people do all of those things. But the real deal is, at the end of it, what do you change? Because that's what repentance is. It's to change. It's to turn. It's to quit doing what I was doing, and now I'm doing something that he's called me into. Very important. And this is what he's making. He's showing them that. Now notice that I highlighted he took Barnabas and Titus. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in this, of what he did there. Because in Acts 15, verse number 2, we covered this already in the previous introduction. He said, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them. That's what I read. Well, we didn't know who the certain others were. Now we know. One of them was Titus. Certain others of them. Now we know that it was Titus. Because it says, and then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus. He's part of the certain others of them. So these are the little things that gives you answers to who's the certain others. One of them being Titus. So hopefully you see that. This is another way to start understanding the text. Now, let's look at, and then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem, took Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, Titus, notice what he says, was compelled to be circumcised. Verse number 4. And that because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberties, which we have in Messiah Yeshua, that they might bring us into bondage. Now, Titus's situation was his mother was Jewish, and his father was a Greek. And so there was an issue there. And it's going to come into play much later in our study. So I want you to keep that in mind as a part that we mentioned to you. This is going to be something that's brought into play later on. But he says in verse 4 that because of false brethren, unaware, brought in, who came in privately to spy our liberty, which we have in Messiah Yeshua, that they might bring on us unto bondage. Now listen to this careful. Any time you come and you want to serve God, anybody, and you think that there's something other than the grace that you got to receive in order for that to happen, that you need to do, that is going to put you in bondage. One of the examples is, brethren came in, we got a person who just, let's say, we'll use Brother Josh, for example. He just comes into the faith. Brand new Christian, just comes into faith. I've been a Christian for a long time. He comes into the faith, and I say, well, you know, brother, you also need to do this. Well, that's not the time to tell him that. Because then he's going to mix that with, that's how he's saved. It's not how he's saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. So Paul talks about that in our introduction. He says, why would we say that? Why would we think that? He said, even Abraham, our father Abraham, it was counted to him for righteousness before circumcision. And so he's trying to say that there's not something you need to do. Salvation is something that's offered to all humanity. No matter where you live, what continent you live on, it's offered to all humanity. And you receive that because of what Christ did for us. We couldn't do it. We failed to do that. Man failed to do it, but Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, which we're about to talk about in great length concerning Passover and first fruits, the resurrection. These are important times for us. He paid that price. The first Adam failed, but the second Adam, the last Adam, he didn't fail. He succeeded. And he lived that life of perfection to please the Father. We tried to do it on our own, and all have sinned and come short of the glory, all of us. So what do we do now? We make our statement just like the Apostle Paul did. I'm not here to do what I want to do. I didn't receive it from man. What I'm telling you has come from God. And that's how he lived his life. And from then on, we see that steadiness and that steadfastness in his life. We see it consistent in his life. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we continue through this. He said, to whom we gave no place not for an hour, that the truth of the good news might continue with you. He said, we didn't even give them an hour's thought on what they said when it came to circumcision is what needs to happen for salvation. And that's one of the things that we have to be careful in, is don't spend a lot of time giving a lot of thought and time to something that's unnecessary. He said, not for an hour time did we give, because we knew it was going to bring nothing but destruction in the body. But of these, whom seemed to be somewhat whatsoever they were, make it no matter to me. Elohim accepted no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in a conference added nothing to me. Now watch this, very important. Verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the good news of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the good news of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles, or we can use the word the uncircumcision there. Because he's using them interchangeable in that text. to the uncircumcision. So I want you to see something. What is happening here? Well, I can tell you what's happening. He's still, the chapter ends, but he's speaking in an introductory term. He's letting them know, this is why this letter, what I'm about to get into, this is why this is. What had happened? That you're soon removed from what I spoke to you, the good news I told you, that you're soon removed from it because of what people say. And this is what he's dealing with. So I want you to keep this in mind. Now, we're going to find a place right here because I have to stop. And I want to leave you on this. Let's stop. Look at verse 9. And when James, Cephas, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. We'll stop right there. All of this, we really go fast through one. We seem to be going fast through two, but it's going to stop and it's going to go real slow from here on out because of the lot that is going to get said. But basically, he's giving this intro. He's telling us about what is this about. Now, I want you to notice something. He said, when they heard this, everybody agreed that this would be the message. There were those who didn't know and those who would know. Now, I want you to understand this. Everybody that's here, let's make no mistakes to think that whatever setting you're in doesn't make a difference what that setting is. You could be wherever. When the Spirit of God gets ready